Well, in 2013, the inventor and billionaire Elon Musk laid out an idea, a sort of moonshot for transportation. Musk called it the Hyperloop, and he envisioned speeds in excess of 700 miles per hour, propelling passengers in solar-powered train-like pods from places like San Francisco to Los Angeles in 35 minutes. But Musk and his team at SpaceX weren't interested in designing and building the Hyperloop themselves. Instead, they put out a call for ideas from around the globe. And this weekend, 120 finalists will be pitching their prototypes, among them a group of students from Drexel University in Philadelphia. Todd Bookman from Here and Now contributor WHYY has their story.
Let's just go ahead and divide the world into two parts. On one side, the people that hear 700-mile-per-hour, electricity-powered, railless pod barreling through a low-pressure tube and say, nope. And then there are these people.
The transportation industry is actually one of those industries that hasn't been revolutionized in a long time, and I think that's a little overdue. So it's about time we introduce a new method of transportation, and what some people are calling Hyperloop is the fifth mode of transportation. So,
what are the first four?
It would be cars, planes, trains, and boats.
What about hoverboards?
Maybe sooner than Hyperloop. You never know.
Meet Oliver Tillman, a tall, skinny senior majoring in engineering at Drexel University. He's part of a team of 80 students who have spent the past 6 months or so working up a vision for the Hyperloop. This weekend, a chunk of Drexel's team will compete against other schools on the campus of Texas A&M, where they'll pitch the best ways to actually build a working Hyperloop pod, the thing passengers conceivably ride in. The way the Hyperloop reaches its impressive speed is by reducing friction, both by designing an aerodynamic shape for the pod, but also by having it shoot through the tube without actually touching it. Drexel's vision starts with a layer of graphite.
Now, graphite is naturally imperfect, meaning that on the microscopic level, there are millions and millions of little holes in which air, liquids can travel through.
So the idea is to install a layer of graphite bearings on the bottom of the pod and then force pressurized air through it.
And as our pod travels, it's going to ride on top of this very small air pocket that these air bearings generate underneath the pod. So it's essentially riding on like a layer of air, like on an air hockey table. It never touches the ground. It's just riding on this this layer of air thousands and thousands of an inch high. So you can't even see it when it's running. And I'll show you right now, actually.
Tillman pulls out a small-scale graphite bearing. It's slick-looking, slightly larger than an iPod, with a little valve on one side.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to attach this bearing to the air supply.
He plugs in an air compressor, the thing you'd use to power a nail gun.
You have air coming out of this right now, almost virtually silent.
Tillman places it on a foot-long length of metal that's a stand-in for the Hyperloop track.
When I lay this down in the aluminum track, does that look like there's anything underneath there? I mean, it just looks as if the graphite is sitting on top of the aluminum just like before. Now, when we apply some pressure with our hands and stiffen that column of air beneath the bearing, you'll notice it slides along almost like it's on ice.
It is just like an air hockey table, but picture the puck pushing air down rather than the table forcing air up. The Drexel team had to design every inch of the Hyperloop pod, not just the frictionless suspension. Students sketched out passenger safety guidelines, emergency exits, and complex engineering solutions having to do with pressure and force. Junior engineering student Frederick Wachter says another slightly different problem has been fundraising.
The price tag of this pod, we're looking around $60,000. So it's not cheap at all just because of all the material costs, the fabrication costs. So a lot of that we're hoping to at least get donated.
It isn't clear how many teams will advance beyond this weekend's pitch competition. Oliver Tillman says regardless of how things go, this isn't just about points for his resume.
I don't think I've even put this in my resume yet, to be honest. I think this is considered, for me, a passion project. This is something I'd like to see happen. It's something I'm excited about. It's something I look forward to going to work on. So,
those two groups of people in this world, the Hyperloop believer and the Hyperloop skeptic, Tillman wants more of them on his side. For Here and Now, I'm Todd Bookman.